Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Everyone, or good afternoon, depending on where in the world you're joining us from. And welcome to today's webinar, Briefing, Unpacking Your ISO 27001 2022 Transition Strategy. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speaker. Today, we're welcoming back a guest who may be familiar to those who have attended PGR webinars before. It's Alan Calder of IT Governance Limited. He's an internationally acknowledged cybersecurity expert and a leading author on information security and IT governance issues. He, as I said, is the founder and executive chairman of IT Governance Limited, and that is a single source provider of cyber risk and privacy management solutions. Alan literally co-wrote the book, the book on ISO 27001, IT Governance and International Guide to Data Security, and ISO 27001/27002 with the help of Steve Watkins, which is the basis for the UK Open University's postgraduate course on information security. He's also written a number of other popular books on ISO 27001 and the EU's GDPR, including the popular EU General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, Implementation and Compliance Guide, which provides a clear and comprehensive guide to the regulation and also sets out the obligations of data processors and controllers. Alan, I'm going to thank you so much for coming back to join us here in 2023. I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor, and you can go ahead whenever you're ready.
Amy, thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this webinar. I hope that it's going to be a useful webinar. We're going to talk about ISO 27001 2022 and transition from your current management system to compliance with the new standard. We'll touch very briefly on what the logical approach might be if you are not yet an ISO 27001 certified business, but fundamentally the question is, you're an ISO 27001 certified or registered company. There's a new standard. What does that mean? What do you have to do? How do you make sure that in the forward planning process, you continue to achieve your compliance objectives? So IT governance, we've been, as Amy said, at this for about 20 years. We do a very wide range of support services for clients around ISO 27001 cybersecurity compliance generally. So what I'm sharing with you is based not just on my own personal knowledge and understanding of the standard, but also the multiple person years of time and experience that we've acquired working with clients to implement ISO 27001. We've now helped organizations in a number of instances from the 2008 version of the standard to adapt to the 2013 version of the standard. We're now helping them adapt to the 2022 version of the standard. As Amy said, I've written a whole bunch of books. That's not really what today is about, but today is about a summary of the changes that ISO 27001 2022 introduces, how that affects organizations implementing an information security management standard that's intended to comply with the international standard. What that means for organizations that already have an ISMS, what a transition strategy might look like, and then a brief look at some practical advice and solutions for making that transition. So what are the changes that ISO 27001 brings in? And the simple answer is that it's not a hell of a lot at one level. So ISO IEC, to give its full title, 27001-2022, was published on October the 25th, 2022. As you all know, it's the date in the title that determines the validity, and at the point it was published, in theory, it automatically replaces the 2013 version of the standard. It's been highly anticipated, not so much for changes to the management system itself, but for changes to the control framework, reflecting changes in the compliance and security environment in which all organizations are operating. The version of the standard to which most organizations, or all certified organizations, will currently comply was the 2013 version, so that's almost a decade old. And the new standard reflects significant changes in the way organizations manage information security today, rather than just simply reflecting what the international panel that put the standard together thought might be a good thing for organizations to do. The nature of nature of management standards is they reflect practitioner advice and guidance, expertise drawn across multiple countries, multiple sectors, all condensed into something which becomes then a best practice standard for organizations around the world. And the new ISO 27001 2022, particularly in the organization of controls in Annex A, really reflects a lot of the evolution in how cybersecurity or information security is treated today. So, what does the transition timetable look like? It got published in October. So you kind of, at a very high level, the first question is, how long will it take for the accreditation bodies, International Accreditation Forum and accreditation bodies, to have in place a scheme that both globally and in the countries for which they're responsible, enables them to certify companies to ISO 27001. And typically it takes about 6 months for accreditation bodies to make the transition from whatever a current standard is to being ready to handle the new standard. And while accreditation bodies have to make that, they have to create a scheme that enables certification bodies to certify against the new standard. Certification bodies also have to make sure that their processes are adapted to the new standard, that their assessors, their auditors, are trained and are competent to certify against the new standard. And that typically will take around about 6 months. So a standard published in October of 1 year, typically somewhere around about April the following year, you would expect that there will be a new accredited certification scheme in place, with a growing number of auditors or assessors, third-party auditors, able to carry out assessments to the new standard. So once that's in place, there's typically a transition period. Transition periods for management standards are usually around about 18 months. So you've got something in the order of from April, 18 months, during which your current management system has to transition from ISO 27001 2013 to ISO 27001 2022. If you're currently starting on a journey towards 27001, hey, you could just simply concentrate on deploying existing skills and competences against ISO 27001 2013 and make the transition at some point later on in the next couple of years. Because the reality is that it will continue to be possible in most cases to achieve certification to ISO 27001 2013 for the next 6 to 18, maybe even 24 months, depending on individual certification bodies and the accreditation schemes in individual jurisdictions. So it's a kind of key area. You need to understand what the approach of the certification body you currently use or you're intending to use. And for many of you, that will be Perry Johnson. What is their approach to transition? But certainly, you're not going to be able to certify to 2022, much before perhaps April of 2022, and you may have up to 18 months thereafter. Compliance is only going to be mandatory. Compliance to the 2022 version of the standard is only going to be mandatory by around October 2024. And that means that if you have a management system certified to the 2013 version of the standard and you fail or you choose not to make a transition, then your existing certification will effectively cease to be valid because it's no longer a current published or current valid version of the standard. Whatever route you go, and I'll come back to the options, today is the right time to start on implementing ISO 27001. You shouldn't be saying to yourself, let's wait until there's a new scheme available. The standard has been published. You can go either with the new standard or the old standard, but cybersecurity threats, the challenges around information security are not getting any less. Today is the right time to start. If you haven't already started, today is the time to start on implementing a management system. If you already have one, then it's worth thinking about how are you going to handle the transition. So let me first talk about the changes in the management system standard itself. And we're talking here, for those of you who know the standard, clauses 4 through 10, which is the clauses that set out what you must do in order to comply with ISO 27001. And frankly, the changes are not that dramatic. There are a couple of changes which flow all the way through the standard. They have no real impact, but you know, words like the standard changed to this document, that doesn't really mean very much in terms of what you do. It's just adapting the wording of the standard to how joint task force wants the standard to be read in the context of other standards. The changes that are worth spending a little bit of time on, and they are genuinely fairly minor, in context and scope, which is clause 4 of the management system standard, the requirement is to identify the relevant requirements of interested parties and determine which of those will be addressed through the ISMS. So that's bringing a bit of specificity to what was a slightly broader requirement to simply identify the requirements of interested parties. Because, of course, not all requirements of interested parties will necessarily be identified through your information and security management system. What the change asks you to do is to get specific and say, well, interested parties might be the information commissioner or data supervisory authority, might be a particular customer, might be a set of sector requirements, but it's who are the interested parties in our management system, what relevant requirements that have relevance to information security, and of those, which are we specifically going to identify, are we going to address through the management system? So you now need to explicitly include the processes needed and interactions between them in identifying the scope of the management system. Planning, which is usually clause 6, information security objectives must now be monitored and made available as documented information. You would probably have been documenting your information security objectives anyway, but it's now an explicit requirement. So the mandatory documentation now extends to include the documentation of information security objectives and the link between the achievement of information security objectives, therefore, and the selection of controls. And we'll look slightly more detail at controls in Annex A shortly. There's an additional couple of clauses in subclauses in clause 6 dealing with change to the ISMS, which says that change now needs to be documented. You would probably have been doing that anyway as a matter of good practice, but it's now an explicit requirement that if you're going to change the information security management system, which might be to deal with newly identified risks, to accommodate a partner or partners, to deal with new sectors, there could be any one of a number of reasons why you're changing the ISMS, but the explicit requirement is now that you document those changes, the reasons for them, identify what they're going to impact, how you're going to implement them, and then of course you need to have a follow-up to those. Clause 7, looking at support, the requirements to define who will communicate and the processes for effecting communication have now been replaced by a slightly broader requirement, which is simply to define how to communicate. So that doesn't really have much impact on what you're doing. We would always encourage organizations to be explicit about who should do what, because that makes it a lot easier to ensure that implementation is meeting your requirements, but the actual requirement has got to be a little bit less specific. Required, how are you going to communicate the objectives of the management system and what you expect of people who are working within it? In operation, that's clause 8, essentially, there's a requirement that you establish criteria for processes to implement the actions identified in clause 6. So clause 6 is your planning clause. There are going to be things that you plan, which typically will flow through into the risk assessment. You need to identify what are the criteria that determine how you go about implementing, which actions you'll put in place to deal with what planning objectives you've chosen in clause 6. In particular, you now have a requirement to control externally provided processes, products, or services relevant to the ISMS rather than just processes. So ISO 27001 is recognizing that You may have processes external on which you rely. You may get services from third parties, could be IT service providers, for instance. You might have products on which you rely. You could rely on firewalls, on cybersecurity provision, all of which could be externally provided. And the requirement is now that you need to control those externally provided services, products, or processes that are relevant to the ISMS rather than just any processes. So you can afford to be very specific about which ones you're going to deal with. And in your revisions to your documentation, you would do an assessment of which processes will fall within scope, and you would identify them as part of your revised documentation. Clauses 9 and 10, there are changes in terms of how you, how explicitly you evaluate the effectiveness of the ISMS and the methods of monitoring, measuring, and analyzing the way in which the ISMS goes about delivering on its objectives and the ways in which you are going to reflect changes in the needs and expectations of interested parties. So again, they're minor, but they're important that you spend a bit of time thinking through how you're going to do that. All in all, we would expect most organizations dealing with changes in the clauses of ISO 27001, don't need to spend more than several hours, a day or two in total, on thinking through how those are going to impact the organization. So broadly speaking, pretty minor in terms of time requirements. The biggest changes, though, are in Annex A. Annex A has been comprehensively revised. It aligns with ISO 27002:2022, so exactly the same logic as previously. The 2013 version of ISO 27001 aligned with ISO 27002:2013. So ISO 27001:2022 aligns with 27002:2022. And there's been a lot of change in that. 27002:2022, remember, is a code of practice. It's not mandatory. And Annex A is a reference control set, not a mandatory control set. So there's no requirement on you to implement the controls that are listed in Annex A or which are described in more detail in ISO 27002:2022. What you do have to do is map whatever controls you choose to implement to Annex A. And as currently, you are required to identify of the Annex A controls which ones you've chosen, which ones not, why you haven't selected whichever ones you haven't selected, and the ones you have selected, what their current status is in terms of their implementation, and whether they're implemented or whether they are due to be implemented. So Annex A is where potentially much of your transition time will be focused. So I'm going to talk briefly about the changes in Annex A. The number of controls has been reduced to 93 from the current 114, and the controls have been grouped into themes rather than 14 major clauses. So the themes are people, organization, technology, and physical. In other words, the domains, if you like, within which you are going to need to consider risks to the assets within scope of the information security management system. And that kind of makes it in a way simpler for you to think about which controls you select. You don't necessarily need to look at any of the technological or physical controls if you're simply looking at risks that have to do with people. You can concentrate on the 8 controls contained in the people theme. All of the controls now also have an attribute identified for them. And the attributes fall into one of a number of 5 types. So there is control type, there are the information security properties. Control types is the control of preventive, detective, or corrective control, preventing a breach, detecting a breach before it happens or while it's happening, correcting a breach after it's happened. Is the control dealing with confidentiality, integrity, or availability of information? You remember the management system is built around the idea of preserving the balance of CI and A. Which cybersecurity concepts is the control working to deal with? Identifying, protecting, detecting, responding, or recovering from a threat or from a breach. It deals with operational capabilities, governance, asset management, etc. And there's a number that the control might link to. And it deals with particular security domains, governance and ecosystem, protection, defense, and resilience. All of those are designed to enable you much more easily to determine relationships between controls and the way in which your controls are going to fit together. There are a number of completely new controls which have been introduced. They reflect changes in the cybersecurity environment particularly. So threat intelligence, information security for use of cloud services, the ICT readiness for business continuity. It was there, it's now a much more significant control. Physical security monitoring, configuration management, particularly important with the migration so many organizations have made to operating in the cloud. Information deletion, big link obviously to legislation like GDPR and other regulation which allows for the deletion of information, but also the protection of information from deletion, data masking, data leakage prevention, monitoring activities, web filtering and secure coding. So new control areas, all of which are worth thinking about. But as I said, remember that ISO 27002 is a referent control set. It's not mandatory. You do not have to implement all of the controls in ISO 27002. What you have to do is identify the specific compliance requirements that you have. So in other words, the building blocks, if you like, of your ISMS, of the controls that you have to put in place to meet contractual, business or regulatory requirements. And then you add to those the controls that you put in place to deal with identified risks where your risk assessment leads you to the view that there is both a likelihood and an impact if a particular threat exploits a vulnerability, which will lead to compromise of one or more of confidentiality, integrity, and availability. And ISO 27002 makes handling transition very easy because it gives you in table B2, which is a normative table, it's not mandatory, the whole standard's not mandatory, but it simply tells you for each of the ISO 27002-2013 controls how that links to a control in 27002-2022. So it makes the mapping process, the what control have we currently got, where does that link to in terms of the new control set, very easy for you to do. It also gives you a table which shows it in reverse, so you can look at how does a new linked to something that we may already have in place. And you know, it could be your transition could be as easy as saying, we've now got a new Annex A, this is how it links to our existing controls, we're not making any changes because nothing has changed in terms of our compliance, our regulatory business requirements, or in terms of our risks. And you could simply say, we've changed our Annex A, we're not changing the controls because what we've got is an Annex A which links to and identifies the controls we don't have in place. For the controls we don't have in place, we've explained why, and we've identified how we do implement the controls we do have in place. That could be all your transition strategy does. It could be that straightforward. It's unlikely to be so, but it could be that straightforward. It's also worth being aware that ISO 27005 was updated. So there is an ISO IEC 27005-2022 available as well. And it's not mandatory, it's not the mandated approach to risk assessment, but it's worth your while being aware of it because it is the family's guidance on implementing information security risk assessment. So it is guidance on implementing information security risk requirements as specified in ISO 27001, intended to be used by organizations establishing and implementing an ISMS in accordance with ISO 27001. So as I say, if you are starting the journey, you might look at ISO 27005 for guidance on what a good risk assessment looks like, but it's not mandatory. You don't have to use ISO 27005. The benefit of using it is that it's all designed to fit together. External auditors, consultants, everybody kind of understands how all of those tools fit together. It's a working ecosystem which can make your life as an organization implementing ISO 27001-2022 much simpler. So, formal change timetable. So I'm talking here not just simply on the basis of high level, but the very specific requirements which flow from the international accreditation bodies approach to what transition has to look like. So starting point is accreditation bodies. Accreditation bodies must be ready to assess certification bodies to ISO 27001:2022 no later than 6 months from the last day of publication of 27001. So that's 6 months from the last day of October 2022. So that means that by no later than the end of May, all certification bodies, all accreditation bodies must have been ready, must have got themselves ready to assess certification bodies for their competence, their capability to themselves do certification audits to 27001:2022. Initial assessments by accreditation bodies must start no later than the 1st of May. So they must be ready. They must start no later than the 1st of May. And all transitions of their certification bodies must be completed by 12 months from the last day of publication of 27001:2022. So all certification bodies, if they're to continue providing certification services to 27001:2022, must be capable of doing it by no later than the end of October 2023. For certification bodies, initial certification can begin no later than initial certification by the CAB can begin no later than 12 months from the last day of publication. That's obviously going to be the 1st of November 2023. Transitions of certified clients must be completed within 36 months from the last day of publication. So that is, if the last day of publication is 31st of October, all existing clients must transition to ISO 27001:2022 by no later than the 31st of October 2025. So you've got 3 months to transition. If you're an existing certified client, you've got just under 3 months to make the 3 years to make the transition. No urgency, other than if there's a good business reason to drive the certification ahead. How does this impact you? Well, the CAB has to establish, the certification body has to establish its transition arrangements. It has to take into account the requirements of the accreditation body's requirements, the transition arrangements, its own competences. It has to assess what its clients want to do. It may go about doing that whatever way it suits itself, but it has to, at the very least, be in a position to deal with changes to ISO 27001 and any gap analysis that a client might make in terms of looking at its own transition. The transition audit, the CAB may conduct a transition audit in conjunction with a surveillance audit and a recertification audit, or it could do it as a separate audit. So there's a negotiation between you and your certification body about how to do a transition certification. We would advise building it into one of your surveillance visits. So the surveillance visit is also a transition audit, which leads to the issue of an updated certificate. You want to try and avoid the disruption that goes with multiple interventions. Build your transition audit either into a surveillance visit, or if you have a recertification falling due in the 3 year period, that's your target date to do the transition, so that your recertification is to ISO 27001:2022, not to the 2013 version. The requirement is that the transition audit has to not simply look at the documentation, but make sure that the organization has actually looked at what changes it might need to make to its ISMS. So it should do a gap analysis of its information security system, looking at not just changes to the document, but changes that might be necessary in the controls. It needs to update the statement of applicability. It might need to update, therefore, the risk treatment plan. And it might need to look at how that impacts the implementation and effectiveness of the controls which might have changed. And I'll come back to those when we look at the transition plan in some detail. This is the guidance that is given to the certification bodies. The CAB may conduct the transition audit remotely if they are happy that the transition audit objectives have been met. So again, from organization managing transition, it's up to you to discuss with your certifying body how you're going to handle that, what's the most effective way of doing that. But the overall guidance I would give is you want to treat this as business as usual. It's part of your longer term planning. You've already got interventions with your certification body planned. You should tie in your transition to those already planned already planned interventions. So how does that affect organizations implementing ISO 27001? Obviously, you're unlikely to be able to certify to ISO 27001 much before April stroke May of 2023. So if you need to get certified in January, February, or March, don't spend any time thinking about 2022. Just get on with implementing a 2013 management system. You can still do that. You can transition at some other point across the 3 years. You can get certified right now to 2013. In fact, you can anytime probably in the next 9 to maybe 18 months, depending on your certification body, certainly within the next 12 months, get certified to ISO 27001 2013 in the certain knowledge that you will be able to make a transition later on. So you need to look at what is available to you in the way of skills and competences. It depends on how you're going about implementing the management system, what training your staff might need, what consultant competence you might require. Look at what's available in the market, decide what your business pressures are, what's mandating your compliance, your ISO 27001 timetable, and that will help you decide which standard you seek to comply with first off. Annex A controls are not mandatory. As I said, it's a referent control set. You only need to adopt the new controls if you have a risk for which they're appropriate. So yes, you need to do in your gap analysis and look at what your risks are. The risk owners need to be roped into reviewing their risks, making sure that of the new control set, are there any controls which might be more appropriate or better controls than the ones which you currently have in place? At the very least, you'll need to adapt your statement of applicability so that it reflects the new Annex A, even if it only then maps to 2013 controls. If it only maps to 2013 controls, you're not going to need to change your risk treatment plan because it's already correct. If there are changes to your statement of applicability, that obviously is going to impact your risk treatment plan, and you'll need to flow through from the statement of applicability into your risk treatment plan. Starting the journey afresh, or fresh, you haven't got an ISO 27001 ISMS in place, then, as I said, think about what is the urgency, what is your timetable. If you have a business or compliance reason for implementing it very quickly, and you don't know that the skills and competences that you need to draw on will be available, then just simply get on with implementing an ISO 27001 2013 management system. There's lots of skills and competence and products and tools already in the marketplace. Organizations like IT Governance can help you right now. PJR can handle registration or certification of the standard right now. There's no additional competence which they need. You can simply get on with it. If you have some time, if there isn't a time-bound requirement, then it's probably worth thinking about implementing an ISO 27001 2022. There are probably commercial advantages in being one of the first organizations certified to that standard, and working with Annex A controls of the 2022 standard off the bat means you can probably more easily link them to compliance obligations from the outset of your management system journey, which means even more clarity about the value of the management system because of the link not just to ISO 27001 cybersecurity risk, but also to very specific compliance risk. There may still be gaps in commercial availability of relevant products and services, so bear that in mind. It's one of the elements. This is a business decision as to which route you go. As I said, if there's urgency about implementation, do 2013. If you have time, then look at ISO 27001 2022 and make your plans on the basis that competences may not all be available when you require them, but you know, mostly implementing ISO 27001 is a 6 to 12 month project for most organizations in any case. If you're already certified to ISO 27001, so what do you need to do? They've got a 3 year transition period, so there's no urgency. That's number one, 3 year transition period. You can think about what the right time to do this is from a business perspective. Think about what other management systems you need to review. Think about whether this gives you an opportunity perhaps to better integrate management systems. You might have ISO 9001, 14001, 45001, for instance. What you might choose to do is to as you're looking at modifying, updating your ISO 27001 ISMS, this might be an opportunity to better integrate management systems. So that's a kind of consideration. Think about the points at which your chosen certification body will still be offering certification to ISO 27001 2013. That will affect your thinking about timing. Think about what their pressures are on you to comply with 27001 2022. Think very carefully about the controls. Think about what risks you have. Think about today's cyber risk environment. Think about today's compliance environment. You may already be doing that, and you may already be looking at the ISO 27001 controls, the 2013 controls, and seeing inadequacies in them, and you might be able to update your statement of applicability by shifting very much more quickly to 27001 2022. Remember, you could adapt, you could adopt the 2022 Annex A. You don't need immediately to go to certification. You could adopt it, you could put it in place, iron out issues in your risk treatment plan, and do that all many months in advance of going to recertification. One advantage, of course, is of implementing the new Annex A is that controls are identifiable by attribute, which means that, as I said, it's much easier to link them to your compliance obligations, much easier to demonstrate how the controls that you've implemented very specifically enable you as an organization to meet other compliance objectives. You need to update your risk assessment. You need to update staff qualifications. You need to update staff awareness training and internal communication. All of those have got to be part of your planning. You'll have people inside the organization with lead audit qualifications to audit 2013. You'll have implementers who have lead implementer qualifications for the 2013 standard. ISO 27001 2022 has just the same requirement that people doing work inside the standard need to be qualified to do it. So you need to have people upgrade their own qualifications. And that's one of the critical stages, critical steps on your implementation path. You need to upgrade staff awareness training. That'll be affected by whichever controls you decide to adapt. It will be affected by how much more closely you tie your information security management system to your compliance activity. So an effective transition strategy then, what does it look like? Well, like any management system implementation, it starts with getting management commitments. You need to, it's a timetable, it's going to take you a number of months to roll out. You need to have some money, you need to have some resources. So step one is to get management commitment to the transition, refocus on the value to the organization of ISO 27001, secure the budget. As with all budgets, ask for more money than you might need, and create a project team. Project team will need to be bigger than just the current team that looks after maintenance of ISO 27001. You'll need some of the cybersecurity and compliance team. You'll need business owners. You'll need the risk owners, the people who own the risks where the controls that you're dealing with might appropriately be modified. Do a gap analysis. That's a good starting point for the project. Do an analysis that looks at which documents are going to need updating. There are not many inside the clauses 4 through 10 compliance. There'll be many more that potentially need updating in your risk assessment and in your statement of applicability and risk treatment plan. But have a look at relevant external processes, look at the risk control compliance relationships, rope in the risk owners, allocate, create a normal project Gantt chart, tasks, responsibilities, and timelines. By when are the reviews of controls going to be completed? By when are you going to make decisions about changes to control implementations and to therefore statement of applicability and to risk treatment plans? Wherever possible, look at improving your compliance posture. Remember, the ISO 27001 ISMS is about improving security. It's not about a static compliance, it's about how do we do this better. So if you can find ways in your implementation of 27001 2022 to improve the effectiveness, the cost effectiveness, the capability of your management system to deliver compliance and security, you should be doing that. And that should be built into your communication activity. Think about including other standards, ISO 27701, which is the personnel management standard. It can only be achieved as part of the scope of an ISO 27001 implementation. The same applies to 27017 and 27018, which are PII in the cloud and cybersecurity control specifically. Those are scope extensions. You can't get certified to those standards on a standalone basis. You can only do them as part of ISO 27001. And it makes good sense if you're looking at how your transition might work to think about the compliance and commercial benefits that come from having those standards included in the scope of your management system. And your planning should therefore take account of whatever work is required to include those standards in scope. More and more organizations, particularly including ISO 27701, it's very focused on personal data, on PII for a lot of the world, on personal data for Europe. It reflects the requirements of laws like the General Data Protection Regulation, like many of the laws across the United States. Being able to demonstrate that you comply with ISO 27701 goes such a long way towards keeping you out of trouble where data protection, PII compliance requirements are across the world. So in considering scope of ISO 27001 2022, think about, is this the time for us to build in compliance with additional standards? And of course, they fit into the logical intervention timetable. You have a recertification coming up, or you have a surveillance visit coming up. You could arrange for that to include an initial audit of ISO 27701 or 27018 alongside an audit of your ISO 27001 2022 transition. Whatever you decide to do, communication plan. Make sure that you're talking to the organization about what you're doing. Make sure you're updating skills. You're meeting the requirements across the organization to have people who are capable of doing what's required of them across the organization, updating competences, staff awareness. All of that should be part of your forward plan. Risk owners should be reviewing risk controls in the light of the new controls contained in ISO 27002, looking for improvements, areas in which they might not have identified exposures. Now is the time to identify them, to look at whether there are different controls which should be rolled out, and if they are, now put in place a plan, update your risk treatment plan, schedule the rollout, be clear about who owns which elements of it, update your statement of applicability. Remember version control on statements of applicability. That's one of the key requirements. Deploy your amended processes and procedures, preferably well ahead of whatever the intervention is you've chosen as being the point at which you're going to have the transition on its own, or transition plus other standards certified, and make sure that ahead of doing that, you complete a round of internal audits, preferably, if no more, at least against the areas that have changed. Make sure that you've looked at how control effectiveness is being evaluated, particularly when new controls are being rolled out. Conduct a management review. Make sure all of those elements are in place, which enables you to demonstrate at transition that you have thoroughly implemented the requirements of the 2022 version of the standard. Looks like quite a lot of work, but actually it's not that much. The biggest amount of work really is with your risk owners. And if your risk owners have been paying attention, if you've kept their noses to the grindstone on through the last few years, you should already be in a place where you're aware of what specific risks need to be documented, and your changes might not necessarily be that significant. But nevertheless, what you're looking to do is have an ISO 27001 ISMS, which is really up to date for your current compliance requirements, which recognizes external processes that need to be dealt with, and which deals with today's cybersecurity risks. Bunch of ways that we and Perry Johnson can help you do that. So for ISO 27001, 27002, you need to read the standard. Go on to any one of the standard sites, or onto IT Governance USA or UK, download. You can buy the standards. They are the international standards. They tell you what you need to do. 27001, that's what you have to do. 27002, guidance on the controls. You can go to either USA or UK or EU websites and access our ISO 27001 2022 transition course. It's the same course enables lead implementers, lead auditors, internal auditors to learn the detailed changes in ISO 27001 and updates an existing qualification. You do not need an existing IB ITGQ qualification to benefit from the transition course, as long as you have any other certificate from any other certification body which you can demonstrate, which you can provide to demonstrate that you are already certified lead implementer, lead auditor. You can do the IB ITGQ exam. If you pass the exam, you will then have a 3-year IB ITGQ lead audit, lead implementer certificate. It's an ISO 17024 recognized certification body, so well worth doing. You might want to go on to a training course if you don't currently have the skills. Lead implementer, lead audit training courses, ISO 27022, I believe IT Governance first to market with a comprehensive suite of training courses which talk about how you can implement ISO 27001 2022 if you're new to the standard. So go ahead and book on that. There's lead audit course, all of those kind of things. There are also consultancy services, whether it's a fast track, we help you implement the management system, we do it all for you, or we just provide some sort. There's a range of guidance and advice available for you in US, EU, and US, and UK on how to implement ISO 27001. And we work with organizations who have two people, who have 200,000 people to put together appropriate implementation plans. And of course, Perry Johnson is an organization we've worked with for many years. They're in a position to be able to deal with registration or certification of organizations doing ISO 27001 for the first time. They're an independent organization. Of course, that's a requirement of the standard. And they can handle transition. And I'm sure that if you didn't get the kind of service you wanted to in terms of transitioning an existing ISMS, and you wanted to talk to another organization about providing certification services, Perry Johnson is there. They're an independent body like any other, and worth talking to. So that's how we and Perry Johnson can help you in looking at your transition journey. And ladies and gentlemen, that brings me rather hoarsely to the end of what I planned to say to you. We have some time available to deal with any questions that you may have. Amy said at the beginning, please do put them into the Q&A function. Amy will share any questions that come up. She'll read the question. If I can work out what the answer is, I'll then answer the question. So ladies and gentlemen, it's over to Q&A, Amy, if we have any.
We do indeed. Thank you, Alan, so much. Go get a drink of water. I'm going to put the contact information for all of the IT governance web pages, email addresses, phone numbers up on the screen. For PJR, if you're looking for a first-time ISO 27001 certification or you have questions about transitioning, you can absolutely reach out to us. PJR.com, simple, easy to remember. Request a free quote, give us a call, send us an email. Everything you need to know is right on that website. I did see a question come in that I want to address really quick regarding the presentation. The slides will be available for download from the PGR.com website after the presentation has ended. And the recording of the entire presentation with the voiceover will be available on the PGR YouTube channel. Just give us a day or two to get that uploaded, and it should be available for anyone who, you know, if you want to review it or send it to a colleague, feel free. But all right, getting to the nitty-gritty questions, if you are ready, Alan. We've got a question, maybe a theoretical question here from somebody who says, you know, it's been 10 years since the previous revision. Why did it take so long to get a new revision?
I'm probably not the right person to answer that question, because after all, I'm just somebody who knows a lot about implementing the standard. I think the practical reality is that there didn't need to be very many changes to the management standard itself, to clauses 4 through 10. There are really a number of minor refinements and improvements, but fundamentally the management system standard itself hasn't changed, and it hasn't needed to change because the requirements are pretty clear and pretty solid, and they work from year to year to year. The area of change really is in ISO 27002, which is the guidance on controls. And there's an awful lot more complexity in ISO 27002. There is the changing environment, the changing cybersecurity and compliance environment. All of that has to be reflected in a control set. And for the experts who work together to create that, to get to the point where they can pull together what looks like it might be stable as a set of new controls for a number of years take some time. There needs to be a bit of time for things to change. There needs to be time for what looks like the new emerging control environment to emerge and to begin to get documented. That just takes time. And ISO 27001, 2013, could not be updated until after 27002 was sufficiently updated, because that's just a kind of fundamental requirement. Annex A is derived from 27002. So 27002 precedes 27001. And the logical question is, why does it take so long for the controls guidance to be updated? And as I say, I think that's much more a function of the complexity of the control environment. I hope that answer does for you. It's about the best I can do.
I was going to say the previous revision happened well before I was involved in the certification industry, so I have no idea what was even involved in the previous revision changes. All right, we've got a question here from a first-time pursuer of 27001 certification regarding 27005, which you had mentioned. It's not required or mandated, but it is recommended. How much detail does 27005 go into for a first-timer?
It's a good, solid description. It's a non-sector, non-tool specific of the way in which an information security risk assessment should be carried out. The revision of 2022 specifically ties it much more closely to a separate ISO standard which deals with risk assessment at enterprise level. So it makes it much more familiar to people who are used to doing organization level risk assessments, which often are dealing with cybersecurity, is just one of the number of elements. But it's pretty clear and straightforward. It talks about the core principles of cybersecurity or information security risk assessment, which are, I summarized by saying there has to be an asset or a circumstance in which a risk might occur. A risk is a combination of the likelihood of an identified threat exploiting a known vulnerability and the impact that might have on confidentiality, integrity, or availability of that asset and of the actions around that. I mean, that's a very simplistic description of what ISO 27005 covers. It's a very good standard guidance on how to do a risk assessment.
All right, fantastic. I see one more question here that's come through already. If anyone has any other questions you'd like us to go over, please do get those sent in just so we can get them addressed while we have some time here. But the other question that we have here is regarding if you could give some examples or a specific explanation of the external processes and providers that are now required to be controlled under 2022.
Sure. So let's take as an example, many organizations outsource their IT support. They have a managed service provider who looks after their desktop support. That service provider will have a set of processes which are going to be relevant to how, as an organization, you manage cybersecurity. Because those processes will deal with which of their staff can access your devices, for instance, will deal with how you refer cybersecurity incidents. There's a whole set of relevant processes. So what ISO 27001:2022 is asking you to do is to look at what those processes might be, identify the ones that are within your control, the ones that are not, and identify how you will manage the risk that arises from them. Some of the processes might be in your control because you can tell the organization who is deploying them what to do. Others might not be. And you can only set out in a contract the criteria that you expect the organization to comply with and put in place a series of perhaps audit options that enable you to ensure they are complying. But what the standard is looking for is for you to be very clear about the ways in which people outside of the organizational perimeter can impact the CI or A of your information assets and having identified them to put in place controls that can bring the risk down to a level that you think is appropriate.
All right, hopefully that was a specific enough explanation for you there. If there's any other questions that we haven't gotten to, please feel free to reach out to pjr@pjr.com. If you wanted to talk to someone on the phone from PJR, our phone number is listed on our website at pjr.com. And then, as I said, all of Alan's contact information for IT governance is right on your screen now. That was the last audience question that I saw come in, Alan. Any parting words before we wrap things up?
I would say, yes, thank you. As parting words, I'd simply say, if you haven't started, get started on implementing ISO 27001. If you want to make the transition, just take a sensible approach to it. Make sure that you go the logical route, do the gap analysis, update your skills and competences. Do take a good look at the benefits of including other management standards in your scope. 27701, 27017, 27018. This is the logical time to be including those in the scope of your management system. And they bring significant benefits in the medium and long term for you as an organization in terms of demonstrating to clients as well as to regulatory authorities the steps that you've taken to manage cyber and information security, which is, you know, I think the final thing I would say is that once upon a time you assumed that death and taxes were the only two things that were certain. Now death, taxes, and cyber breach are the only three things that are certain in life.
A very, very apt phrase there, Alan. I will just add for all of our attendees, we do have two other sessions along this same line scheduled. We have one in February and one in March. So if there are any updates or any new news to come out regarding the transition, I'm sure that our slides, our presentations for March and February and March will reflect those changes and updates. Alan, thank you again so much for taking the time to join us again. It's always great having you on. And I will just go ahead and wish everyone a healthy and safe rest of your week, and we'll see you all next time.
Great. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.